Hi, I'm Zara Nasr-Azadani, Emergency Medicine Clinical Pharmacist at Salina Regional Health Center. Thanks for taking the time to review my poster, Low and Fixed Dose Prothrombin Complex Concentrate, Therapeutic, Pharmacoeconomic, and Operational Outcomes. Today, I'll be describing my original completed research regarding an off-label dosing strategy for the utilization of four-factor prothrombin complex concentrate, or Kcentra. This medication was developed to reverse vitamin K antagonists like warfarin, but has also been used off-label as a standard of care for reversal of direct oral anticoagulants, or DOACs. When reversing warfarin, the traditional dosing is based off of the patient's weight and their INR at doses of either 25, 35, or 50 units per kilogram. For DOAC reversal, the dose is different. It's generally regarded to be 50 units per kilo, but this is technically off-label. However, for all indications, dose-finding studies were not performed, and emerging literature continues to support efficacy of much lower doses. So firstly, our objective is important to note. I will aim to assess clinical and operational measures associated with changes made to the traditional dosing strategies for four-factor PCC. While patient safety and efficacy endpoints are clearly of the greatest importance, it's also important to ensure that logistical challenges be evaluated as well. Secondly, on to methodology. At my institution, I developed a protocol to implement a fixed 1,500-unit reversal dose for all patients requiring warfarin reversal for life-threatening bleeds or emergent surgery. This dose is consistent with recommendations from the American College of Cardiology, or ACC, 2017 and 2020 consensus guidelines for management of intracranial bleeding. And while the ACC recommends a 1,000-unit dose for all other bleeds, the 1,500-unit dose was chosen at our institution for across-the-board reversals in our protocol in order to provide consistency, simplicity, and to help ensure adherence to the fixed protocol regimen. The dosing for DOAC reversal was set at 25 units per kilo instead of 50, which also has some off-label support. While the ACC guidelines suggest endexanet alpha as the first-line agent for DOAC reversal, their full recommendations include the caveat that four-factor PCC can be considered when endexanet is unavailable. In our case, endexanet is intentionally unavailable. Exclusion of this agent from our institutional formulary represents one prong in a multifaceted stewardship strategy. So, finally, to assist with operational challenges, an order to consult pharmacists for four-factor PCC dosing was added to our electronic health record to help mitigate physician uncertainty or unfamiliarity with a new protocol. Appropriately enough, this four-factor approach is described in Figure 1. Results and findings are graphically summarized in Figure 2. All data was retrospectively obtained via chart review according to approval through our institution's review board. In calendar year 2020, 30 patients required emergent anticoagulant reversal. This total sample size is consistent with previous years, despite the unprecedented extenuating circumstances of the year. 13 of these reversals were related to warfarin use, and 17 were related to DOACs, specifically apixaban and rivaroxaban. Our institution uses INR as a surrogate marker for hemostasis, and when complete data was available, all but one patient in each anticoagulant group achieved INR reversal of at least 1.7, which represents 90 to 91% efficacy. This is at least numerically comparable to the 82% achievement of hemostasis reported in the Annexa 4 trial, which is the study that brought endexanet to widespread market availability. Ultimately, by approaching four-factor PCC dosing in a conservative fashion, our institution was able to spare 98 vials of the drug, which is especially meaningful in a world of near-constant drug shortages that have at times impacted supply of this specific antidote. By further avoiding the headline-grabbing expenditure associated with endexanet, overall cost savings is estimated to exceed $1.1 million in these 30 patients over the course of a single calendar year. However, other institutions who elected to add endexanet to their formularies have documented much higher expenses that cannot be explained by the cost of the drug alone, sometimes upward of 17 times the cost of the medication itself. As with most cost avoidance measures, it is difficult to quantify the precise impact, but the savings found in this study are actually likely to be underestimates. By actively involving pharmacists in the dosing process, we were able to document a time-saving effect as well. The role of the pharmacist in preventing medication errors and successfully improving door-to-drug times is well documented elsewhere and may be supported by additional studies like this one, which demonstrated a decreased time from order entry to the start of drug infusion. On average, four-factor PCC was started 22 minutes sooner when pharmacists were present. Although this study was not designed to detect statistical significance, this numeric difference may certainly be clinically significant in the setting of a life-threatening bleed. finally, there were two patients in this cohort who did not achieve adequate anticoagulant reversal defined as an INR of less than 2. While this is a less than perfect measure of hemostasis, our institution does not have anti-10A levels available on site, so they are of no clinical utility to us. Moreover, the Anexa-4 trial found no statistical relationship between hemostasis and anti-10A levels. There are shortcomings associated with every individual known measure of anticoagulation reversal, and this study's findings are also consistent with that conclusion. These two patients were dissimilar in nearly every measure, including BMI, anticoagulant agent in use, renal function, baseline INR, drug interactions, indication for reversal, and comorbidities. Moreover, this was such a small group of patients with an N of just 2 that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to draw any meaningful conclusions from the data set. This seems to lend support to the notion that a more sophisticated measure of coagulopathy would be useful for these patients, with a growing body of evidence suggesting that viscoelastic testing, like thromboelastography or TEG, might serve a meaningful purpose for this task. To that end, this data will be used to advance an initiative to implement TEG in the SRHC Emergency Department, a project that is underway and in early planning stages. Thanks for attending my poster session.